Okay, Denise, here we are at the second part of the art and science of the telephone follow-up, and let's get right into something we haven't talked about. What are the basic tools for the job? You know, how do you get, what do you need to make effective phone calls?
Well, there's...
Other than a phone, obviously.
Well, and I have to say, that's funny that you bring that up, Robert. Yes, a telephone is the most critical one, but I have to say I have opinions about telephones. You will never find me making an important phone call on a cell phone. I just don't do it.
Right.
So when I set myself up to make, to make follow-up calls, particularly since I'm in the telephone business, I always do it from the comfort of my office using a hardwired phone.
Hardwired, not even a...
I don't even do portable.
Yeah, I do too. So a corded phone. I use that as well because you have so much better connection and the battery won't die on you and things like that.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm back to the basics when it comes to the telephone. I will, yes, of course, I will return your call on a cell phone, but I will not make an important outbound call on a cell phone.
Right.
So I recommend telephone, and I recommend hardwired, where possible, and I do not recommend cell phones. So you won't even find my cell phone number on my business card because I don't communicate like that.
Great.
But that said, you should take some notes during the call. So you'd need something to write on and a pen or a paper, piece of paper. It's not necessary that you have a computer, so you don't have to be completely wired up with a computer with CRM software, but you could certainly use a computer as your basic. You definitely need your scripts in front of you. You need your common questions and answers.
So you might have those scripts in a binder, sort of the overview of a basic script that you can flip to and as you need.
You might.
Yep.
That's one way of doing it. I actually, personally, I work in a swivel chair. I like to have the scripts in front of me, so literally I'll move through the script as I turn in the chair.
Okay.
Or if I'm standing up, I just kind of turn as to look at the scripts. Yeah, particularly when it comes to something I'm not familiar with or when, there's some questions I need to be able to answer correctly, and I'll have them in, large type so that I don't have to struggle to read the words, but you... Set it up the way it makes sense, but definitely have them available. Don't have them in a drawer. Be prepared. I know some people who use the basic 3x5 or 4x8 cards, 4x6, whatever the size is, the larger index cards, and they write their answers on that, and they'll flip through them.
Okay.
The important thing is think it through and have it available. And then I also suggest to people that they think through, really, really think about the area that they're making their phone calls from. So I live in a city, I make it a point not to make phone calls anywhere near, in my office, I'm right on a main drag, I make it a point never to make important phone calls near the window, even though I probably would prefer to spend my entire day there. Because in the middle of a call, a fire engine can go down the block. So
I called someone the other day, and next to his building, they were demolishing the building. It was not a very fun phone call to make, but I was making the sales call. He wasn't, so.
Okay. Yeah, that's.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. And can you imagine if the reverse were true and
exactly.
Your office that was being demolished,
Right.
Or the office next door to you. Yeah. So, yeah, you do need to think about that. What you think to be really wonderful background noise may, in fact, not be so wonderful and can distract your prospects. So it's important to give that some thought before you say.
Yeah, no TV or music playing.
No TV, no music. If you're going to have music, make sure it's, low end, really low, classical, something that won't offend,
Right.
Yeah. And then you do need a tickler file. Now, this can be I use the basic homegrown, file folder for every day of the month.
The 1 through 31 file?
I do.
Yeah, we talk about that on our audio program about getting organized.
Right,
so,
the Elizabeth Hagen one. I subscribe to her process. And I used that when I first started out in sales about 25 years ago, and I still use it today. It's just gotten bigger. It's not in a little recipe box anymore.
Right.
So I use that, and that works well. But you could also use Outlook. You can use anything like that to keep organized. But the important thing is a really basic tickler file.
Okay.
And then if you want to get more sophisticated, of course, you can go with a headset, depending on your interest, if you enjoy headsets. I happen to like headsets, and I always use one, but not everybody does. So headset, and I also recommend a wired headset as opposed to a wireless, so that there's not much interference.
Right.
And then certainly we mentioned a couple times, if you had the luxury of taping your side of the call, that's a great thing, a great tool.
Okay.
And then you really want to get fancy and you really love this stuff, then you might want to think about what we call a CRM or a Salesforce automation tool. So, you know, Salesforce, CallLogix, SalesLogix. I use ACT, but there's any number of wonderful tools that even go further than Outlook or any of the other basic ones.
But essentially you can capture all the information, details about the talk. You can put a reminder that will tell you when to call back. You can put letters and send email out through it, all those things.
Yep, you can search for anything. You can search for things like, you know, who is that guy that told me that his dog died? You know, I mean, you can...
Exactly.
You can do some really sophisticated things if, in fact, you find that telephone calls are more and more part of your day.
Right, and it's not a have-to to start.
Right.
For most people on this call.
Not at all.
Yeah, I've never used that, so...
Yeah, so... It's a luxury, but it's worth looking at if you want to get things a little bit more automated.
Okay. What else?
Well, and then from there, it's just a matter, once you're organized and you've got everything set up, then it's a matter of picking up the phone and making some calls. And I always recommend when you pick up the phone and make some calls that you start with your least risky calls first. Test it out.
Good point.
Yeah, so an example would be if you presented at an event and you got 50 business cards and there were a couple key people that you really wanted to connect with and you really wanted to get to the point where you're advancing the relationship toward a sale or something mutually beneficial, I wouldn't start with them. I would only start with them if they say, no, call me tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Right.
I would start with someone that was much less risky, that was at the same event.
It's totally a long shot. If you lost them, big deal.
Yeah, but what it does is it allows you to practice.
Right.
It allows you to practice your script. It allows you to say the words. It allows you to say the name of the event without stumbling over it. It gives you all kinds of opportunities to practice and get better. So practice and improve.
Good.
So I always say start there. And I suggest, too, that people, when they're making phone calls, particularly if they're making follow-up phone calls, set aside a certain time either every week or once a month. Queue up all the calls that you're going to make. You know, the night before, if you're going to start in the morning, the night before, pull out all the paper files. I'm going to call these, you know, 10 people. Of these 10, 50% of them, I'm going to offer them new information. The other 50% are, you know, relative to the last call that or the last contact I made with them. Set up my scripts and block out a period of time, because if you focus on it, once you get in a rhythm, it starts becoming easier and easier.
Sure.
But you can't get in a rhythm if you decide to make one call today and one call, you know, a week from today.
So if you're calling between 1:30 and 3:30, that's like an appointment on your calendar, and that's what you do in that time.
Block it out and you'll get better at it. Now,
absolutely.
That's not for the basic follow-up call to people calling you, or you're in a relationship. You're in a business situation where you need to have conversations. I'm talking about things that are, you know, classically what people would call telemarketing. Those kinds of calls.
Or even if you have those 20 cards to follow up from the talk, as we keep coming back to.
Yeah. And I do that. You know what I'll do when I do a talk? I'll block out mid-morning of the next day. I'll have queued up what I think will be the appropriate call guide, what I think will be all the questions and answers, and I will, when I walk in from the talk, and a lot of times, you know, talks are in the afternoon or
evening,
whatnot. Typically, my talks are in the evening. I'll bring all my business cards. I'll stack them in the appropriate stacks. I'll have allocated from 10 to 1, 10 to 12 to be making phone calls, and I'll just queue it up. I'll have a nice cup of coffee, good glass of water sitting there, and I'll just rattle through all of them, and by 12 o'clock, I'll have completed the entire list. I won't have reached all of them, but, of course, I'll have my call guide for when I get voicemail and when I get the gatekeeper.
Right, and the thing to emphasize here is you struck when the iron was hot. You didn't wait a week for those follow-up calls, and it's amazing how much time people let go by, and starting soon, like you say, the day after is a great day to start.
Right. And it also, it's interesting, too. I find sometimes that making phone calls is actually less cumbersome than sending out follow-up emails.
Uh-huh.
It can be quicker and
uh-huh.
less cumbersome, and you get immediate feedback.
Uh-huh.
So it's surprising how the combination of things like emails and letters and notes and brochures, but adding to that the mix, adding to the mix a telephone call, it's surprising how, in a lot of cases, how much more efficient you can become in a certain set period of time if you pick up the phone and make the call.
Great. Okay. What else?
Yeah. So that's you know, there are also things, you know, that you could focus on, like best times of day to call. You know, as you described in one of the role plays, it's never good to call the boss Monday mornings. In fact, you know, generally the data will tell you that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are your highest contact dates, but I wouldn't always focus on them. I'd move around a bit till you found a pattern. Usually
right.
Friday afternoons in the summer are not good. A lot of times you can get the decision maker at noon because the gatekeeper is gone. So there are some good times to focus on and some actually, more importantly, some bad times to avoid. And also, make sure that before you place your first call, if you haven't spoken to anybody that morning or if you haven't spoken to anybody in a while, make sure to, you know, warm up your voice a little bit so that you're not cracking when you get on the call. Make sure that you're sufficiently warmed up and ready to make the call in addition to all of the other tools that you have in front of you.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are some tips and techniques, and if you set a goal for yourself, you set aside some time and decide that you're going to make a certain amount of calls, and if I would always reach. I would say if I really felt like I could only make 5, I try to make 10. If I think I can make 10, I place my goal as 20. It's surprising how fast that time will go. If you've set a goal and you're striving to that goal and you've got all the tools in front of you and you just pick up the phone and call.
You know, something that you should watch out for is you don't set yourself up to make more follow-ups than you're able to make. I've seen this a lot. Well, I'm going to send out 100 letters a week and follow up with them. And I just laugh and say, it's not going to happen. Nobody can follow up on 100 calls and the follow-ups related to that. I don't know what a reasonable amount is. It depends on how busy your schedule, et cetera, et cetera. Any kind of rule of thumb there that you think is a reasonable amount to try to get to in a particular time period?
Well, that's a tricky one. First of all, I'm with you. I wouldn't send out 100 letters with an intent to call them all. What I might do with that 100 letters is I might say there's 10 or 15 in this that I do want to call, and the close of my letter would be, I will call you within the next 2 weeks. And all the rest would be left if I'm following up, kind of left to their own devices to call me if they're interested. So I would segment that list a bit. I don't ever send anything out in bulk like that. I will go through a list. If I really am targeting and I want to send out something to, you know, to warm them up a bit or as a follow-up, and then I want to place a phone call after that, I won't send any more than 4 to 5 at a time per week. But that's just, you know, because I'm engaged in,
sure,
in client engagements, and I know I can't get to them. And I always judge, you know, once I send them out, I always then follow that to judge how long it took me to get back in touch with them so that I'm not constantly sending out letters that I don't follow up on.
Right, and that's just a waste of time. You send out 50 letters and you get back to 5 of them in 3 weeks. It's just, why bother in the first place?
Right, and but the simple reality is you could send out 100 letters. You could actually follow up on 100 people in, you know, 3 or 4 hours. You just wouldn't have quality conversations if you set that as a goal. So, you know, you kind of have to judge it for yourself. How many, you know, put out a number that you think you can get to, maybe up it by 5 or 10% just to stretch yourself a little bit. That's, you know, it's always good to stretch a little bit, get into a little bit of an uneasy zone there and see how far you can go. But I wouldn't go much more than 5 or 10% above what you really, really honestly, truly think you can do.
Yep, great.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we get into one more piece, and it's a very important one, and it's the one that everyone's sort of in the back of their mind, which is, you know, you've given me these techniques, I've got scripts, yeah, you've told me everything what to do, this is all great stuff, but, you know, I just hate to do this. And I just, you know, do I have to do it?
Yeah.
I've had this conversation with clients. I used to coach many of my clients in this whole thing years ago, quite a bit. And so it's sort of fun to review all this information. But, you know, a lot of people just had amazing amounts of resistance to this. And so when you're working with a client that's got that resistance, and I'm not even talking about the cold calls, I'm just talking about the follow-up calls, which more people in this call are going to be doing anyway. You know, I got 20 people from the talk. You know, do I really have to follow up? And how do you get over this?
Oh, it's hard.
It's hard.
I think it's hard. I don't think it's easy.
Okay.
But what I suggest to people is that they make a kind of a game or a challenge out of it.
Yep.
I suggest you do a couple of things. You either if you're self-motivated, if you can get everything else done and you just don't really like to pick up the phone for whatever reason.
Yep.
I avoid the therapeutic conversation and I just launch into, okay, how can you get yourself putting one foot in front of the other to do this? So you can do it by setting personal goals if that motivates you. You can do things like, I'll take a break on Friday and go have a cup of coffee in my favorite coffee shop if I do 2 hours worth of calling done on Friday, those personal goals. You could set up a goal with a business associate that you know, like a challenge goal that says, let's see what we can do about encouraging each other toward our own individual goals.
So you hold each other accountable.
Yes, yes. You can get really creative when it comes to that. You know, you could hire a coach to improve to improve the work that you're doing on the phone so that you're more adept and more comfortable doing the work and that you're sure that you have all of the tools in front of you and that you've been able to practice with a professional before actually launching into the conversation. So those are usually, I'll start with someone, an individual, and I'll start by trying to encourage them to make the calls themselves.
Right.
Without, a whole lot of fanfare and a whole lot of extra effort and energy being put into it. And then I'll move through to the individual challenges and then the more what I call the group challenges. And then if I'm not able to get the person to progress that far, then I usually go into either recommending that they hire a coach or at the outside you can actually hire a person, people, or a company to actually do the follow-up phone calls for you. Do the follow-up phone calls, keep your audience warm, forward the relationships, as well as set appointments for you to go in and meet with the people. So you can actually hire this work out.
Way back when, I had an assistant that made some of my follow-up calls. Mm-hmm. And she would just call from a workshop or whatever and say, Robert, just wanted me to follow up with you and thank you for attending the workshop. And what I'm doing for Robert is setting up appointments to explore a bit more about your business and see if there's some ways we could assist you, something like that.
Yeah.
And they weren't selling on that call, but you were getting through all those calls, and then I would have a number of qualified appointments set up. So it is something that can be delegated with someone that is good. You do not want to have somebody that sounds like a teenager that is clueless. You have to have someone that's mature and intelligent enough that can really represent you well.
Right. And or a robot. You gotta make
or
sure.
Or a robot, right.
Yeah.
That's
and
reading
and,
some script, right.
Yes,
you don't want that.
Yes. And you also, in that case I'll bet you your assistant had a lot of enthusiasm for your offering. So that's an important piece.
Definitely.
Because if you're asking someone else to do this piece, which is you can do, you do need to make sure that they have the at least nearly the level of enthusiasm, if not the level of enthusiasm that you have for the work that you do. So the whole Zig Ziglar where he quotes, enthusiasm, it ends with, I am sold myself. You need to make sure that they hold that dear as well.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I do recommend if people are looking to hire an assistant, expecting that an assistant would make these calls, I do recommend that people vet that out as part of the interview process rather than just kind of foist that on someone. Because just as you may not want to make a phone call, you may hire people who don't want to make phone calls.
In fact, the largest chance is they won't want to, so you really do have to vet them for that.
Yeah, you do.
How do you like making phone calls? And they say, I love doing it, I've done it before, I have great success, blah, blah, blah. You're looking for somebody like that.
Yes. you know, and you're looking for somebody that's done it before, that's done outbound, that has a level of enthusiasm that you could see if they weren't doing this, maybe they would be in customer service or selling or something. You know, just a little bit more particularly. I guess what I would suggest for someone who really doesn't like to make phone calls, that you'll hire the opposite of yourself.
Yep.
Almost in that position.
Yep.
Because there's nothing worse than asking someone else to make the calls representing you who really, really is doing it begrudgingly. So you can get, you can also, there are people, there are what I call them hired guns. There are individuals out there, they're hard to find, but you can find them, individuals out there who...
How would you find them on the web?
Oh, they're really hard to find.
Is there particular keywords you'd use? Well, telemarketing is maybe not it, right?
No, telemarketing is not it. There, I have to say, Robert, if you find them on the web, you let me know,
uh-huh.
because I've been looking for them, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're hard to find on the web.
But I've bumped into these kind of people through networking.
Right, that's where you find them.
Sure.
You ask.
And you ask, you know, I'm looking for someone that's good at making follow-up calls or cold calls or setting appointments, that kind of thing.
Yes, and I have to say, they, you know, it's not a category. I'm not trying to categorize here, but typically they are women who want to work part-time.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they'll do this. They'll build their business until it's completely at capacity. And they'll have ongoing relationships with clients, and they'll have virtually no downtime, but they won't be working full time. And a lot of these people actually are former salespeople. They just have a different life now, and they want to accommodate that life, but they want to use their skills. So it's difficult to find them, but when you find them, hold on to them or refer them to your friends so that when you need them, you know where to find them again.
Great.
But you can find that. There's also some reasonably and not so reasonably priced smaller, what I would call telemarketing agencies who do this work for independent professionals. So there's a number of them out there, and they are available. You know, you can find them on the web.
Right.
You just have to look through and make sure that you're focusing on a provider that focuses on independent professionals or small businesses.
Right, as opposed to huge corporations. It's quite different.
Or high tech.
Unless
you're selling something high tech. You don't want to go anywhere near those because they wouldn't understand you anyway.
Right.
We don't understand them. They don't understand us.
Right.
Yeah. So there are some things you can do if you really think that you are going to hate it. There are some things you could do where you could, you either make it by doing it yourself or you buy it. But also there are some things that you could think about. If you really think about this in terms of two things. One is you're advancing the relationship. And two, you only need to get better in increments, in small increments, in inches.
Yes.
You actually could develop this as part of your repertoire without a lot of too much pain.
Yeah, you know, just the mind side of this is very important in how you think about it. For instance, I've said, people, what's the worst that could make if you made a call to somebody? What's the worst? About the worst is they wouldn't be interested. But that's about the worst, really. You know,
right.
I've never had anyone slam the phone down on me and swear at me. You know, maybe that happens to telemarketers. It's never happened to me in this kind of context. They're not going to send a hitman out to get you.
Right.
You know, not terrible things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And also, it's useful to remember that people are quite forgiving. They, you know, as long as you sound fairly competent and intelligent, and you will if you do the kinds of things we've talked about, that is prepare and have scripts and know what your service is and all that basic stuff, is you'll actually stand far above a lot of people that call, and you'll do quite well.
Right, like people that don't call.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I have to share this story because I've shared it with many people, but never on a teleconference, and it's so interesting because I was coaching this guy years ago who offered a particular service, and he was having, you know, a lot of fear and a lot of resistance. We created the scripts, the approaches, the message. He had it all down, and he said, "Robert, man, I'm still scared to death to call." And we did it a bit more, and finally he started making the calls. And then he called me up one day and said, "Robert, you and I made a call to this company, and so I left a message. We'd practiced the whole message thing, and then at the end of the call, my mind went blank, and I ended the call with and then hung up the phone." And so he was really upset. So I talked to him, and I sort of got him calmed down a bit, and I said, you know, you're not going to die, blah, blah, blah. Then 2 days later, he called me and said, guess who called me back, Robert?
That company.
That company. And not only that, it turned into a $60,000 project.
Wow.
So you never know. If you don't make the call, nothing will happen. If you do make the call, the worst that will happen is nothing. And that is already going to happen if you don't make the calls. But the best thing that could happen is, as you say, forward the relationship, make appointments, get leads, make connections, and your level of confidence will really build. If you really get good at this, you will become a more confident person, less afraid of rejection. And that's a great internal skill to develop for yourself if you're going to be self-employed. Whereas if you spend all your time resisting this, avoiding it, and saying, I hate to do this, etc., you're really sort of building a self-fulfilling prophecy for yourself. It doesn't have to be like this. I don't know about you, Denise. When I started to do this stuff, I was as bad as they get.
I was worse than that.
And you were even worse. So, not too many people are born a natural at this.
Oh.
You know, I did all the things. You know, it's so great to talk to Denise because she really understands it. I did all the things you talked about finally to figure it out. I wrote out the scripts. I practiced it out loud. I've practiced my message. I followed up. And I have this other quick story from my InfoGuru manual. I discovered this could actually work when I wrote a lot of letters to the members of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce that I thought would be good prospects. And I just did follow-up calls to them. And because there was an affiliation, a connection, we were all both chamber members, they took my calls. And I remember once reaching this fellow who was a really smart guy. He was a business psychologist. And, you know, the call went something like, I'm just following up on the letter that I sent to other chamber members. I help professional service businesses with their marketing. I wasn't sure if that is something that was a concern to you right now, but I just wanted to call and touch base and find out a bit about your business and see if I can help you. Something like that. It wasn't very sophisticated. And he talked my ear off for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And at the end, I said, well, I think I can help you. Why don't we get together? And he said, that would be a great idea. This has been a great call. He talked 90% of the time.
Well, isn't that the way?
Yeah. And it was like I realized at that point is that I don't have to be brilliant. I just have to be willing to do it and be a really good listener.
Exactly.
And ask some good questions and keep the conversation going. And that guy turned into a very good client, one of my best first clients. And I realized that I'd kind of cracked the code on this, and it wasn't really that hard after all.
Yeah.
And I made a lot of, outreach like that to various companies using exactly the kind of things that you've talked about. So I just wanted to add this, to add validation to this. If you are listening to this audio program and you go, I could never do this, well, read the transcript, go over it in detail, listen to it a couple times to just get the sense of what we're talking about and see that it's really not that complicated once you practice a bit, and I promise you're going to be successful. So that's kind of my close, Denise. Anything that you'd like to say to close to encourage people to make this work for them?
Well, I would like to encourage people to build it into telephone follow-up into their marketing action plan. Literally, make a place for it at every step of the way. Build it in. And if you do that, and if you work on developing the art of your telephone presence, and if you practice the science of the follow-up, you'll see results. Start small and build. And I always like to say that Vince Lombardi, the famous football coach, had a quote. He was quoted as saying, inches make the difference. And that's the way it is with doing anything you don't really particularly like to do or you're not good at, but most particularly, you can move your skill in doing telephone relationship building by inches. You don't have to move it by miles.
Right. Well, Denise, this has been a really useful call. It's going to make a difference to a lot of people. So,
well, I've really enjoyed it, Robert. I appreciate the opportunity to spend this time with you.
Thank you very much. And we'll be in touch again, I'm sure. Thank you.
Terrific. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.